Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Our 28 countries are united in a commitment to common values: freedom, democracy, and the rule of law. And we are bound by an ironclad commitment to defend one another against attack. All for one, one for all. Europe and North America together. This is what NATO is all about. For 65 years, our alliance has played a unique role in ensuring our common defense and security. Today, NATO protects almost 1 billion citizens on both sides of the Atlantic. It helps manage crises, and working with partners, it remains an essential source of stability in an unpredictable world. As we meet today, the principal foundations of global security are being challenged in a way we have not seen since the end of the Cold War. By Russia's actions against Ukraine, instability and violent extremism across the Middle East and North Africa, and newer threats such as cyber and missile attacks. In a dangerous world, we must continue to respond to these multiple challenges with unity and with strength. We must ensure that NATO remains ready, able, and willing to defend all allies against any threat. Today, we will ensure that we have the right forces and equipment in the right place for as long as required. And commitment to reverse the decline of our defense budgets, to share responsibilities for our security, and to enhance the vital transatlantic bond at the core of our alliance. We will also strengthen our partnerships with countries and organizations around the world. We will continue to work closely in times of peace so that we can go into action together in times of crisis. We will help partners strengthen their defense and security sectors if they require our support. And for those who are willing and able to meet the responsibilities of membership, we will keep our door open. So we have work ahead, but NATO always rises to every challenge. We stand ready to act together and decisively to ensure the common security of North America and Europe. I now invite Prime Minister David Cameron to make his welcoming remarks. David, you have the floor.
Thank you, Secretary General. Colleagues, when NATO last met here in the United Kingdom in 1990, many would have hoped that its core aim would soon have been fulfilled. After the long years of the Cold War, the vision of a Europe that was whole, free, and at peace seemed within our grasp. Yet today, the protection and security that NATO provides is as vital to our future as it has ever been in our past. We face new and evolving dangers. To the east, Russia is ripping up the rule book with its annexation of Crimea and its troops on sovereign soil in Ukraine. To the south, an arc of instability bends from North Africa to the Middle East. Last night, we discussed the threat posed by ISIL in Iraq and Syria. So our message is clear. We are united in condemnation of these barbaric and despicable acts. They should be very clear, these terrorists. Their threats will only harden our resolve to stand up for our values and to defeat them. To do so, and to deal with all the threats that we face, our great alliance must now evolve and refocus on the new capabilities that we need to keep our people safe. And I hope that in these sessions today, we can agree the changes that are needed. For me, there are three. First, as Russia tramples illegally over Ukraine, we must reassure our Eastern European members that we will always uphold our Article 5 commitments to collective self-defense. So we must be able to act more swiftly. In 2002, NATO stood down its high readiness force. I hope that today we can agree a multinational spearhead force deployable anywhere in the world in just 2 to 5 days. This would be part of a reformed NATO response force with headquarters in Poland, forward units in the Eastern Allies, and pre-positioned equipment and infrastructure to allow more exercises and, if necessary, rapid reinforcement. If we can agree this, the United Kingdom will contribute 3,500 personnel to this multinational force. Second, as the Secretary General has said, we must increase our capacity. I hope today we can reaffirm our public commitment to spend 2% of our GDP on defence and 20% of that money on equipment. This would send a strong message to those who threaten us that our collective resolve is as strong as ever. And this issue about equipment is as important as the overall amount of money. What matters most of all is what are we able to do? What are we able to deploy? What enables us to respond rapidly and together, collectively, to the threats that we face? Those are the questions we must answer with our increases in capability. Third, we must extend our partnerships and build a more effective security network that fosters stability right around the world. To do this, NATO must become not just an organization that has capability, but an organization that exports capability. I hope we can agree to use our expertise to provide training and mentoring of forces in Jordan, in Georgia, and also in Iraq when the new government has been established. These can be the first steps in a long-term commitment to help our friends and our allies around the world. This commitment is vital for our own security. By standing up for our values around the world, that is the way that we will keep our own people safe. Thank you.
Thank you, Prime Minister. And this concludes the public part of our meeting, and I would like to thank the representatives of the media for having joined us this morning.